You made it. You've arrived. This is Peter Levitan's Advertising Stories. And you're about to hear entertaining, personal, often instructive stories from deep inside the world of advertising.
Hello, welcome to Advertising Stories. Today, I am talking to Will Power, who is the CEO, founder, main dude at Will Power Integrated Marketing. It is an African-American agency in Los Angeles. And Will has a very interesting story in how he reaches the humongous African-American / Black community in the United States. His marketing approach is rather unique. He gets brand messages right into the faces and the mouths and the ears and the skin and the hair of his community. If that sounds crazy, keep listening. Here you go, Will Shelton.
Your name is Will Shelton with one L. And what's the name of your agency?
Will Power Integrated Marketing.
How many L's?
One L.
All right. Okay. So, do your friends and family get confused, or do they got it by now?
They got it. They got it by now. Yeah.
All right. Now, you know, by my highlighting it, it means that people are going to get it, you know?
Got it.
All right. Cool. All right. Let's hope they get it. All right. So, do me a favor. Tell me about Will Power Integrated Marketing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. My company, we specialize in reaching the African-American consumer out of home. But what's unique about my company is that, you know, I developed a network of barbershops and salons nationwide. And this is a very trusted environment. And we help global brands and entertainment companies reach that consumer through that outlet.
So help me understand this. You have a network of how many barbershops and salons?
We actually have a network of over 100,000 African-American barbershops and salons nationwide.
And any idea how many people might kind of, what's your metric for flow through? Like how many people can you reach in a month or in a year?
Yeah, approximately our annual reach is about 100 million consumers annually.
Wow. All right. So when I come up with the right product, I'm going to give you a call.
All right. Yeah, you got to call me.
All right. I'll give you a call. So who are some of the kinds of clients that have found you?
We worked with a lot of the movie studios like Universal Pictures, Paramount Pictures, Sony, Columbia, record labels like Interscope, Columbia Records, RCA Records, AT&T, Comedy Central, ABC, NBC. So we worked with, you know, most of the major networks, movie studios, and record labels.
And what's the smartest way they work with you? Is it essentially some form of product placement?
Exactly. Yeah. What we do is we essentially give them permission to join the conversations that exist in these shops. But we not only give them permission, we help them gain admission. We literally take them from the mezzanine section to the orchestra section to give them a front row seat with their target consumer. So, you know, the blind spot has been that these global brands and entertainment companies had a blind spot for how much cultural capital that existed in these shops and how much of a captive and receptive audience this was to tap into.
And are these brands that have tried to reach the African American community and failed? Have they not even bothered trying? Are you talking to new people? You're talking to people that want to find another way to reach the consumer? Who's your target market advertiser?
Well, we work with and partner with brands that really want to cut through the clutter and get right to that consumer out of home, where they gather weekly. This is a place where they have a conveyor belt of conversations. They have great endorsement. And it's a reliable tool for companies and brands to use as a vehicle to reach that consumer and that audience in that type of environment where there's no other environment like the African-American salon and barbershop.
Got it. All right. I'm trying to visualize this. So I'm a guy. I go to get my hair cut. I'm sitting in the barbershop. And how would you reach them? What's the interaction?
So usually what we do is, first of all, we have to develop a campaign that's going to be culturally relevant and that's shareable and that's going to resonate with that consumer. You know, African-American audiences have an insatiable appetite for entertainment already, and they really have an outsized influence in the culture. So we put together really customized activations where we distribute customized branded items, like we have shampoo and cutting capes that go around the patrons. We have posters that we put in the windows, whether it's a nail file, whether it's a water bottle that they use, a lot of the tools they use inside, and t-shirts. We give away tons of items that normally they don't just stay in the shop, but we call this the beyond the salon effect. So that patron that comes in, they get a free CD, or they get a keychain, or they get a nail file or a t-shirt, and they take that outside of the salon in the community with them. So the brand message continues beyond the shop.
So you're getting them on the street, possibly with a poster, and then you're handing them something that they are taking home.
Correct.
Very cool. All right. And who do you think is, if there is such a thing, who's a great advertiser that right now today is reaching the African American community?
I think as far as global brands go, I believe Procter & Gamble would be one. Coca-Cola, McDonald's would be one. Netflix, as far as streaming goes, and Disney as well. Those are some brands that have developed very strong relationships with African-American consumer and community.
All right. Have brands made mistakes? So one of the things you offer is not only a marketing solution, which, by the way, sounds very interesting to me, but you offer cultural relevance to a brand. You know that I like this question. You and I have talked about it. Has anybody made a mistake in how they've reached the African American community? Have they made a cultural faux pas in their marketing?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, they have. And it's actually been on both sides. I'll give you an example. There's a black hair care product line, and they had a good relationship, and their product was selling well with African Americans. But they decided that they wanted to gain the mainstream community as well, and that consumer. So they tried to pivot and gain the mainstream consumer. But what happened is they ended up getting a backlash because they put together a campaign that just was so offensive to their core consumer that they got what I call the blacklash.
I don't want that. I don't want that.
Yeah. And it just it was a total, inappropriate commercial and campaign that they put out. And that caused like a huge uproar with the African-American, their core, fan base. And then on the other side, there's a company named H&M that a couple of years ago made a huge mistake. They did an ad that was targeting, I believe, African-Americans, but there was a problem with hair. It just looked like they didn't even try to hire a key hairstylist to do the young lady's hair in the ad, and the Black community went crazy on Twitter, on social media, and they had to take that ad down and apologize. So yeah, there've been quite a few mistakes made in that arena.
Well, we're going to, for those people listening, we're going to do a two-part interview today. This part's about your agency and advertising, pure advertising. We're going to come back and talk about the lack of diversity. So when you talk the lack of diversity in marketing companies and in advertising agencies, which to me leads to both an insensitivity to the market and also just a total lack of understanding of cultural values and just culture in general. Not understanding hair, you know, for African American women, and I got to say, I grew up in New York City, so I get it, right, is a critical mistake. Now, are these companies making mistakes like this, and we're just picking on one mistake here, because there are too few African Americans in decision making and even at lower ranks, just kind of watching what's going on? I mean, how do you make a mistake like this?
Yeah, I think you're right on point. I believe that there's just not enough diversity in Black minorities that have a seat at the table that are able to guide them and steer them away from being misguided and making these mistakes. I believe if they had the right people at the table, these mistakes, maybe if they weren't even eliminated, they would be very minimized at this point.
Well, I've told you about a problem. We'll call it a problem. It was a significant problem, that a mistake that Kmart made last Mother's Day, where they were cute and they thought they'd use the Indian word namaste, which means hello, and they converted it for the Hispanic market in the United States to mamaste. Now, if you don't understand what that word means, and I didn't at the time, and you're saying mamaste, you might think, wow, that's very cool. I'm combining Spanish and kind of an Indian vibe. The problem was, and mothers, put your hands over your kids' ears right now. The problem is mamaste means blowjob. And I use that as an example of like how bad it can get.
Hi, this is Sarah in for Peter to deliver a quick advertising message. If you go to Peter's show notes, he will point you to another conversation with Will Shelton. A very important conversation about the appalling state of diversity within the leadership ranks of the advertising and marketing communities. I urge you to listen to it. We think that Will's ideas should become a part of how the marketing world thinks about its hiring practices.
So that leads me to another question. Hispanic marketing agencies have told me about this concept called total market, which means that they're trying to find one message that works for everybody. Have you seen that happen in your world?
Yeah, I've seen it happen. And I think, I don't know if I agree with total market, because, you know, you've gone from African-American marketing, then you have multicultural marketing, then you have total market. And what happens is when you have total market types of campaigns, you're really just bolting on the campaign to reach African Americans. And what I coach companies to do in corporations and brands is to, you can't bolt it on. You have to build in that African American campaign in the beginning of the campaign, or else it's not going to be authentic and it's not going to be credible and resonate with the African American consumer.
And have you moved this kind of thinking into the world of social media?
Yeah. Yeah, we have. We actually have a very robust social media strategy where most of our shops have what I call micro influencers, where they have 1,000 to 5,000 followers. And a couple of our influencers and shop owners have like 400,000 followers, believe it or not. So they have very strong engagement, even stronger engagement than the general market influencer does. So we have that as an added value and as a strategy that we provide for our clients.
So you're working across Facebook, I'm assuming Instagram. Are those the two major vehicles?
Yeah, it would be first Instagram and Twitter and Facebook.
Okay. Are there any channels that are particularly oriented towards reaching the African-American community? Something that, let's just say, white people would not know about?
Yeah. Like in the shops, in the black barbershops and salons, you know, there's this community and a conveyor belt of conversations and where they get to relax. It's like a sacred space for them. And it always has been. It's kind of like second to church, where they can just come in and talk about anything and be themselves and just take off the mask, figuratively and literally. So I call, you know, Twitter for them is the original black Twitter, because black Twitter is like equal barbershops.
Right. All right. Well, I don't have much to say about this, but I'll just tell you a little story. I was in Selma, Alabama a couple of years ago and spending a lot of time with the community. I was there about 3.5 weeks and doing a photo project. And I was walking down the street one day and I'm looking in every window and I'm staring into a barber shop. And the barber looks at me. I'm probably looking in, you know, longer than I should, let's just say, you know, 15 to 20 seconds. And they start waving to me. So I went in and it all, that world that I entered reinforces everything you're saying. It was like a close-knit family. People were talking. They weren't sitting quietly. There was laughter. You know, there was sharing of information. They were very curious about me. And I can absolutely see that you're generating brand messaging in that kind of energetic environment is a win-win situation for everybody. So I congratulate you on that. And again, I want to go back to the beginning, make sure people know this idea that a good chunk of your business, not all of it, is reaching these physical spaces, the physical spaces of salons and barbershops is really incredible. I would say, you know, everybody talks about digital media, but if you can get in front of people, actually people talking to people, that is high energy, high value, and I think drives a brand message. So I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. And one other note, I want to note that, you know, these grooming and these beauty experts, they understand how to bring the brands and the brand message into an environment. And they know and speak to this audience in an authentic, incredible way. And this automatically generates strong endorsements and it builds authentic conversations that become a part of the barbershop and the salon experience itself. You know, this type of marketing literally leverages that outsized influence on the culture, because they don't just shape hair. They shape the culture one haircut and one hairstyle at a time.
All right. Well, I'll be voting for you. What, you're going to be running at, you're in Los Angeles, so you'll be running for Congress in Los Angeles?
Yeah, one of the Senate seats, maybe. I don't know. You know, they told me, I don't know if I'm eligible though yet, right?
What does it take to be eligible?
I think it probably takes, you know, not that much today. You know, I think if you have some balance in your life, you can become eligible.
All right. Well, if you need a campaign manager, you let me know.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you, Will, with 1L. Thanks a million.
Thank you.
All right.
Hi. Thanks for listening to that interesting conversation about African-American marketing. And I want to remind you to go one podcast back to hear Will talk about diversity, actually the lack of diversity in the upper ranks of advertising agencies and the marketing world. I always say, tell your friends about Advertising Stories. It's important to share this incredible information with your buddies. And finally, I want to thank my production crew, Austin Kleon, who has taught me how to steal, and Timothy Ferris, who taught me how to only work 4 hours a week. Thank you, guys. Hey, to you. See you soon.